fucking plastic rotary phone?
No, not a rotary phone. Oh, my God. I'm not that old. I mean, yeah, I am that old.
You're that old.
But I don't have a rotary phone now. I don't cling to 30 or 40-year-old technology most of the time. I don't think I do. I got a stack of LPs back at home.
Yeah, but they came back around. Those are cool again.
Yeah.
I saw a hipster picture. I read this article. It's like, you know, the shit that gets cool when you're in your 30s. And one of them is you stop giving such a fuck. And the picture they showed was a guy with a portable record player, like clearly in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So I'd never even seen one of these. It was a portable record player.
Yeah, you can get them. The quality is shit, obviously. Oh, I'm sure. The speaker is crap.
No. He had headphones on. So this guy had the equivalent of like a CD player. And he's walking, and he's like on an outside bench, like a beer garden, like being the hipster guy listening to a record on a bench outside of a bar.
That's almost cool.
Don't you fucking say it. No. No. It's not.
I mean,
cool.
If it's a good quality, if they've got a good needle and a good cartridge in it.
You're walking around with it. That needle can't be good for very long.
Yeah, you'd have to sit and listen, I think.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, needles were what the record players used to create sound off of the grooves.
They still do. It's a needle. But yeah, if it were a quality unit, if you were like sitting with it and, you know, walking around with it, though, that's a little questionable.
Yeah.
I got to wonder, you know.
But you're not doing it for the quality. You're doing it for the conversation piece. Like, yes, I have a mustache. Yes, I have large sunglasses. Yes, this is a portable record player with probably
expensive. It's not that
simple.
You've got to have a preamp because I don't want to get too technical. Yeah, I do. A phonograph has a different output than any other. Than like a tape player or a CD player.
This was a headphone directly preamp. Into.
It's got to be a specially designed.
Yeah, hipster device.
Hipster device, then.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's 100% what it was. Hi, we're buddies in space. I've been recording for a while.
Yeah, okay. It better have had tubes. That's all I'm saying.
I don't see how it could have. It was too small.
Then he's useless as a hipster. If
yeah.
He's not using vacuum tubes.
No, I know that, and I'm only in my early 30s. The
he's
importance
brought
of
shame
tubes.
Onto the hipster community for doing that.
Well, but yeah, but they were feeling shame before he could bring it upon them.
They were ashamed before they could feel it. I don't know, something like that.
I was ashamed before it was a thing, man. I was ashamed of my mother's womb. You are S. Michael Smith.
Yes, and you are Michael. What is it?
It's M. Eichel Carassi.
Michael Carassi, whose middle name is a mystery.
It's a religion.
Is it,
it's a major religion.
C, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's a major religion. You can guess it. It's not hard.
Michael Kabbalah Carassi.
How'd you know? That's amazing.
I thought that was a K, though. I thought that was a K.
Well, my parents were hipsters.
Okay.
They kind of were, I think.
Yeah. So, man, what are we on about today? What's going on?
I don't have much. I will tell you that I have never looked at so many bare breasts.
Whoa!
And not been turned on in my life, and as I have
the
last couple of days.
Heck? What? Oh, you have to explain yourself, sir. You have to explain yourself.
So you don't remember what we were doing?
I was not invited to this party, and I demand to know why.
No, you know what? You would have run screaming from this party because
what?
Monday night, the wife and I went to a breastfeeding class.
Oh.
And Tuesday, and last night, we went to our first Lamaze class.
So, all right. So, you go to these classes.
It's just a strip show. It's actually entirely for the guys.
So the women just let it hang out?
No.
I'm confused then.
I think I'm selling it badly on purpose. No, it's like a lot of
videos. You're selling it really well, but perhaps dishonestly.
I get a kickback from the OBGYN.
I give you a kickback. So I assume at this point it's just models or diagrams of breasts.
It's actually a lot of... Like, the breastfeeding class was interesting because I had no idea breastfeeding is so fucking hard and complicated. Holy shit.
I did not know this either.
The only way I could liken it is, did you ever play Top Gun on the NES?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I didn't have an NES.
Were you too young?
No. No, actually, one of my friends had one in college, but we didn't have that game.
Okay. Well, there's sort of a legendary 80s video gaming thing.
Was it, like, really stupid hard?
There was a thing where you had a midair refuel.
I've heard of this.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's well known. So, like, this is before when I was really young. I was six maybe when I was playing this game. So this is before I realized that like bad game design did not mean I was bad at a game. You know what I mean?
Right. You're like, why can't I do this?
Why am I so, Friday the 13th? So Friday the 13th is one of the worst games ever made. It's on like the top 10 worst games list I read not that long ago. Mm-hmm. And I felt so good because I thought I was just terrible at the game. And Jason always killed me. But no, so there's this thing in midair. You're like flying your really bad 8-bit jet from the cockpit. So imagine how that looks. Flight simulator.
Yes.
And like this plane that you can barely see is hovering above and it like just shoots a jet fuel like hose.
Yeah.
So you're like tapping against the wind because it's flapping in 8-bit graphics, which is basically just moving over slightly. Uh-huh. And you're trying to line up this X that you don't even know where it is. It's somewhere on your plane. You're like looking at a console. And like you always crashed your plane because you ran out of fucking fuel trying to refuel it because it was so hard. So that is
almost... You know what, guys? Never mind. I'm just going to...
I'm just going to die. Iceman, Goose, Beast.
How about you guys just give me an extra fuel tank next time, all right? Can we do that?
How about you make my mission not last so damn hard? Also, why are there so many people that I have to kill?
Did you ever have to land it?
I don't know if I ever made it that far.
Oh, so there was a point where you could actually land?
I think it was landing. Yeah, I think I did, or I watched a friend do it. I'm pretty sure there was landing, which was also, like, stupid hard. They're like, yeah, we'll just make random collision detection, and that'll be how we make the game difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was a little bit younger, I had an Atari computer, and my game like that was F-15 Strike Eagle.
Okay.
By Microprose.
Oh, yeah.
It was a really famous game. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is the Atari computer, not the Atari Master System.
Right.
I'm sorry, that's Sega. The Atari 2600.
Not the Atari 2600. The Atari 800. I was fortunate enough to have a disk drive instead of a cassette tape drive.
And by disk drive, you mean floppy.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, put in context there.
All right. And that game was like, it was like the most awesome combat plane simulating thing that anybody had ever seen at that point.
Sure.
I think at any given time, there may have been like maybe six lines on the screen.
Whoa! It's not just five lines.
Like that set of three lines is an enemy plane and it looks awesome. Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so lifelike.
Yeah, it was pretty difficult, but I don't remember having to refuel in midair.
Well,
I think the commanders were a little bit smarter in that, and they just like planned things within your range.
Let's put an extra fuel tank on this 4-bit airplane.
I had fuel tanks, so I remember that. Like, and you could run out of fuel if you didn't complete the mission in time.
Yeah,
and like you had the afterburners, and it was like they would use up more fuel.
Mm-hmm. Top Gun and all that.
I think at some point, even if you had like the extra tank, and you could drop the tank.
Oh.
After a point, after you'd used that fuel,
to save on
it was
fuel.
So realistic, is what I'm saying. Oh my God, it was so realistic.
So that's what breastfeeding is like, apparently. You got to come in at this angle, and then you the baby latches on like a lamprey. And like it got to the point where I was like, so I was just fascinated by this. I'm just like, I'm not turned on at all. By
now,
all
one thing I do remember, and I think maybe this is like from a psychology class or something. Okay. I picked this up somewhere. This is the full extent of my breastfeeding knowledge. We'll see how it compares to what you've learned.
I am now knowledgeable.
If a baby is breastfeeding or trying to get, you're trying to get the baby to latch on, mm-hmm. to connect. And if you, I got something there.
No, I thought you were going to say they're rubbing the nipple on the upper lip thing.
I was not. No.
Sorry. Never mind. Keep going.
That if the mother tries to push the child's mouth towards the nipple, it won't work.
It'll go towards where
the pushing is coming from because it thinks that's where the goods are.
They didn't go into that, but I mean that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that could be just complete bullshit.
No, I mean it makes sense because they're like rooting around. Rooting is one of the things they do, so they're feeling around for like that hard, you know, nipple like oh there it is, and it's like no baby other way.
Right.
So I guess if you wanted to, you should be pushing from the direction you want it to go.
Maybe so.
We're onto something.
All right. That's the extent of my knowledge.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's wrong. I'm happy to tell you. Next time you're breastfeeding a baby.
I'll remember that. I'm getting to a point where I probably could. got a little moobage here.
I'm not too far off.
Yeah, you are. You're a ways away.
Ah, oh, thanks. I was just fishing for a compliment.
Yeah, well, you caught me. Hook, line, and sinker.
So, yeah, breastfeeding, magical, fascinating, not sexy.
No?
I mean,
not... Does it make you hungry?
No, I hate milk.
You hate milk?
I despise milk.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Like, I can't drink a glass of milk. It makes me gag.
It's probably better that you are because it's like... It's really not good for you.
No. The whole thing about calcium...
It's like this scam that, it that is. We've been brought up...
milk leaches calcium from you. It doesn't put it into you.
By the dairy council
mafia?
Or whatever.
The dairy mafia?
Yeah, it is. It's like, it's complete bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was brought up in the generation where, like, that was one of the four food groups.
Oh, you're not tall. You must not have drunk enough milk. I hated hearing that. Oh my God. It made me so angry.
And it was like, yeah, you had to have milk in every meal. That was just part of, you know, a balanced meal.
Okay, so let me ask you
I think
something.
They've got away from that, right? They don't teach that anymore, right?
I feel like that's that still around.
School, man.
I think that's still around, man.
You go to, like, the grade school, and there would be, like, you know, the food pyramid or whatever the hell, and, like, milk was one of the close to the top
I mean, they redid the food pyramid. I think dairy's still on it. But tell me if this is weird or not. I think this is bizarre, but it might be my milk aversion. So my wife and her brothers love drinking milk when they eat pasta.
That seems weird.
And I'm like, but you're drinking milk, like lactose, and then you're having tomato sauce, which is high acid.
Yeah.
Like, that seems awful to me.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like a good combination to me.
Well, if you agree with me, then clearly appealing. Everyone else must
And I have, I mean, I will have, like, a bowl of cereal almost every day.
Oh, me too.
What do you put on it?
Milk. But
you hate milk, Mike. What?
Yeah, I don't drink the shit at the end. I mean, I put just enough fat-free... It's basically water. So I put fat-free milk in it.
All right.
And then I put, like, half to a third of what most people put.
Okay.
I learned this in college. Everyone's like, why are you putting so little milk in? I'm like, because it's all I need. And then I get the barest amount of milk on my spoon. I'm not, like, one of those, like, perfect bite eaters. I have a friend. She lives in California. Yeah. And she's like... Did I ever tell you this? We waited tables together. We work a double, so we go out to lunch together.
Oh, your friend...
Jadelyn.
Yes. And hi, Jadelyn.
Hi, Jadelyn. She's not listening to this. Yeah. It's not her scene.
You never know.
But yeah, we go out to lunch, and we'd be late coming back for our second shift because she was one of those people who had to have, like, if there were four different items on the plate, she had to have the perfect portion of each of those in one bite every time. I'm not one of those people normally, but with cereal, I'm like, I can barely, it has to be just the right amount of milk, but not too much.
I can understand that. I don't, you know, necessarily go for the perfect bite, but I can certainly understand where that would come from. But I go heavy on milk, man. That's, I do this, like, ass backwards, so I put in milk first.
Oh, you're one of those?
Yeah, I'm one of those.
What's up with that?
And then I put cereal into the milk.
I mean, I guess it doesn't splash. Sometimes you, like, if you have cornflakes or something, the milk hits it, and it, like, hits it wrong, and it splashes all over the place. Ever happened to you?
Nah.
Well, no, it doesn't, because you put the milk in first.
Yeah.
So maybe you're smarter than the rest of us.
I don't know. I'm saying, though, and I don't really drink milk anymore. I mean, I used to, but, I mean, just drinking it by itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of...
Are you a 2%er? 1% whole?
No, we go with the skim. The skim, which is basically chalky water.
Yeah, it's just about as much milk as I can handle.
Have you tried any other stuff? Like the soy milk or any of that?
Don't tell my wife this, but sometimes when I run out, I will have some of her almond milk.
Oh.
It's awful in coffee.
Ugh.
Awful in coffee.
Yeah, I tried. I was going crazy at the Wegmans the other day.
I like where this is going already.
And for breakfast, I usually start with a little cup of yogurt.
Okay.
I mainly go with the Greek yogurt, the Chobani.
All right, very bitter stuff.
Yeah, but it's like I don't like it too sweet.
So
I hate it. I hate it when it's too sweet.
Start with that. So yeah. Is breakfast a multi-phase meal for you?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I don't do it very well. I mean, it's poorly planned out,
okay.
But it's easy.
All right.
So I'll have, like, yogurt and maybe, like, some water to drink.
Oh, God.
Just a little bit. And then when I get to work, I'll have, like, a granola bar and maybe some nuts.
That sounds great. Why would that be not well planned out?
I don't know. It seems like I'm not doing something right. I don't know.
I think the breakfast
I don't think I'm getting enough calories on the top end. I think I need something more in there.
I don't, you know, I think that's another myth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to do top loading, like a lot of calorie intensive breakfast, but I found that I do a really small, I think literally I have, like, I'm trying to say this because I'm using my fingers.
Yeah.
I use a small bowl and I fill it, like a small cereal bowl, and I fill it like a third of the way up with cereal.
Right. The way Mike's moving his hands, I'm thinking like maybe 2 cups.
2 cups tops of cereal in the morning. And then I get hungry about 10 or 11, and I read that if you have a light breakfast, but you have something healthy, and then you eat at like, you eat like a handful of something high protein, like nuts or yogurt,
yeah,
at like 10, 10:30, then you're going to, like, your energy's going to carry through,
okay,
until lunch.
That's kind of what I've been doing. Yeah. So maybe, yeah, I'm all right.
I think you're okay.
All right.
Yeah, you're probably a little light on carbs.
So the other day at Wegmans, I go a little crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I get some of the, it's not yogurt, it's like almond yogurt.
Really?
Yeah.
That's new.
But it's like the yogurt version of the almond milk.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little, you know, I'm curious. I like to try different foods. I'm not one of those people that like doesn't like. I think people fall into one of these two things. Either you like trying different foods, or you just, I just want my steak and potatoes, and that's it.
They say that's tied to the mother's diet when you're in the womb.
Oh.
If she tries a lot of different stuff, then that makes you more adventurous.
Well, good.
I just learned that. Huh? So, you bought almond yogurt.
Yes. It tastes nothing like yogurt. And that was probably my, you know, mistake going into it, was assuming it might taste even a little bit like yogurt. I mean, it's there next to the yogurt. It looks kind of like yogurt. It's in a yogurt cup thing, but it didn't taste nothing at all like yogurt.
Another ploy by the dairy mafia. Actually, it's the anti-dairy mafia.
It was very tart.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I might... I'm kind of still in shell shock. I don't know if I'll try it again.
do you need a hug? Are you okay?
No, I just...
Talk about it, man.
Yeah,
just talk it out. It'll turn to cancer if you don't.
It had, like, little, I guess, bits of almond pulp in it throughout.
You're not selling me on this.
I'm not trying to sell you on it, honestly. It was interesting. It was an experience.
All right.
And I'm not sure. They had different flavors of it, though. I just got, like, the regular, you know, straight-up almond... whatever.
That's probably your mistake. You probably want to cover that shit up as much as you can with other flavors. I mean.
But all the other ones were like significantly more calories than just the straight yogurt one.
Okay.
The straight almond, not yogurt.
Yeah, I can't think of a better name than that.
Yeah, almond, not yogurt.
Almond, not yogurt, yeah.
It was interesting, though.
I can't believe it's not yogurt.
Next time you're drunk and you're looking for a food challenge, I'll make you eat one of those.
Man, how many of those have I done?
I don't know.
Just that one?
Well, that was a big one.
Ooh,
and you, like, that was bad, man.
That was bad. What was that?
It was the fish that was, like, the horrible part.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
What was that?
It was, like, some Norwegian or English or something. It was, like, some European. It wasn't sardines, right?
Oh, it was sardines. Yeah. Oh, that was
sardines.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so we're walking around Wegmans. I was drunk.
Yeah.
And
we're in drunk snacky mode.
Right, and we're in the international area.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's right. I just
because I had to get those chips, the English.
Oh, the cheddar ones.
The cheddar.
Oh,
yeah.
Those are so good.
Those are freaking awesome. I forget the name of them.
Not Tyrrells.
Tyrrell and something.
It's got like three old ladies on it.
Yeah, yeah. So if you go to Wegmans, they're like hidden. They're only in the English food section.
Yeah, like English. They're Irish, I think. It's the English, Irish, Scottish section of Wegmans. Which, by the way,
the food lines are always fighting each other. Yeah. but they're delicious, these really awesome chips, but they're not in any of the other normal chip sections.
So, and they're pricey for chips.
Yeah, they're not too bad.
I don't know why, it was nothing anyone said, I just decided drunkenly that...
You issued the challenge, you're like, oh yeah, you don't think I can eat all this? Well, I will. And we're like,
no, it was even weirder than that. Well, that was true, but it was more like I went up to your wife. I'm like, I will eat any $10 worth of food you pick up, and I made her pay for it too. That was I was like, did I not pay for the shit I ate? But I think she was bemused, so she went along with it.
Yeah, it was kind of a mixed bag.
Oh, it was like fucking sardines, and then
that was the worst of it.
That, oh my god! Oh, now I remember.
And we were just chowing them down. I mean, Zach and I helped you eat that, which is probably a mistake. It was foul.
It was disgusting.
Really disgusting. And it was, like, dripping everywhere.
Yep. No, they weren't sardines. You're right. They were some kind of like other fish in tinned oil.
A sardine-like
fish.
Oh, but it was like the whole fish, right?
Yep. It was like an entire salmon.
But the way you picked some of it up, and we were just picking it up with our hands.
Yep.
Which was just horrible.
Oh, it sold the drama.
Yeah.
But there are other things, too. There were other random things I ate.
Yeah, the fiery ginger beer was actually pretty good.
Yeah, that might actually helped me.
Yeah.
That might have been the
That
the
might
only,
have settled your stomach
yeah,
after
that
all that.
Yeah, that might have defeated what could have been a pretty...
Again, from the European foreign food section.
That, like, Scottish,
fiery
English,
ginger beer. It was pretty good stuff.
Which is also a great stripper name.
Yeah.
Next to the stage, fiery ginger beer! Wait till she shows you her bearded dragon!
Wow.
Too far?
That's... I'm terrified now. I don't remember any of the other foods out there.
Yeah, there were like three or four. I was stuffed. I was like horribly stuffed.
Yeah, it wasn't good food.
Not my finest moment.
It was snacky stuff. Man. Are we talking about food?
Apparently that's our theme.
All right. Should we talk about restaurants?
Yeah.
Right. Cellar Door. Awesome.
What?
Oh, yeah, wait, we can't tell anybody
Cellar
about that.
Door is
damn
awful. And
no,
I'm going to edit this out
there
now.
And it's not in Fairport.
What are you doing?
What?
It's not in the...
It's not in the basement of the
basement of
Green Lantern
Green Lantern Inn. Nope, definitely not there. Don't look. Seriously, what? There's like seven tables in that place.
Yeah.
But it's so... I think it's my favorite restaurant in Rochester.
Yes. It's
yes, Mike. It is your
favorite. Restaurant. Yes, it's great. It's cozy. The food is fantastic.
The prices are
reasonable.
They're pretty reasonable.
I mean, it's not like you're not gonna want to go there every weekend. I mean, maybe you are. I don't know. I don't know how much money you have.
Hello, Mr. Moneybags. Good to see you again.
But yeah, it's like an upscale dining experience that is, like less than your Black and Blue.
Your Richardson's.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got that farm to table ish vibe.
Yeah.
Which I'm a fan of.
Where else? Michael's Valley Grill.
Great place.
Another great place. Also, kind of hidden away.
Yeah,
it's in a strip mall.
Yeah, it's a terrible location.
It looks like, you're like, how can this be a decent restaurant?
Actually, that's what I saw when we went there that one.
Like, this is a joke, right? You got us all psyched up to have this nice meal. Now you're taking us out to a freaking diner. Thanks.
No,
Mike.
It's really good, guys. Dick.
No. And also, not overly expensive for what it is.
Oh, they did the grilled iceberg wedge.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
No,
romaine?
It wasn't iceberg. It was romaine. Yeah.
That was amazing. They just took, they quartered a head of romaine and then grilled it.
Yes.
That's like one of it was unique enough to mention.
Now, the weird thing, and funny that you mentioned this, I was watching one of the Gordon Ramsay shows.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows who Gordon Ramsay is. He's like the angry, screaming
who's
chef
actually really
guy.
Nice.
Apparently, he's really nice in person. Yeah. I don't know. You know somebody who met him or something.
Another guy, another Brit. Maybe that was, it helped that they were both expats.
I guess.
But he like was on the phone with his family talking to his kids and stuff. Yeah.
Was there a story there that you wanted to go into?
Well, this same guy also lives next to Richard Gere, who is apparently a complete asshole. So that's the extent of the story. So.
And Gere's an American, so maybe that's...
Yes, so it really is Brits are nice to Brits.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And he was I guess, evaluating a restaurant, and one of the things that they were serving was a grilled romaine salad.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just, like, tearing up. He was like, who grills a salad? What kind of crazy dining thing
what?
Is this? Has anyone here ever heard of a grilled salad before? And he was just, like, making fun of it like it was the craziest thing, stupidest thing anybody had ever done.
Did he eat it?
No, I don't think he ate.
Oh.
I don't know.
What?
It's a show. They play up
it's,
stuff
yeah,
like
it's all
that.
The theater of it. No, I know.
But when we had it, it was very good. It had a smoky flavor.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like burned. It was like there may be a little bit seared, but it was still...
It had the right amount of lettuce char.
Yeah. And it was more to get that, that smokiness in it than to actually cook it.
Yeah, you don't really caramelize lettuce
with fat
in it.
Maybe they'd overdone it at the restaurant where Gordon Ramsay was...
Or maybe it was perfect and he was just not trying it.
I
maybe he actually really liked it, so they didn't want to show that scene.
So is it, No, no, it's terrible. It's terrible. I can't like it. No.
Could I please have another one?
My
just for
ratings
extra evaluation.
Will go down the toilet if I like something.
This is absolutely delicious. Smash. Crack.
How dare you? How dare you serve me something good?
Cries into the
Don't you know what my show is about? Have you never seen me?
I demand shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good place.
Owl House.
Oh,
this
yeah.
Downtown.
We gotta go back there.
Yeah, we went there once. Yeah. Not a place for the non-adventurous types.
No.
A
place for skinny jeans and large glasses.
Yeah. For better or worse.
That was definitely the thing there.
Yeah.
Like, did you see into the kitchen? I don't know if you had that angle.
I didn't have that angle.
I was looking into the kitchen, and it was like every bit that the service staff looked like they were right out of, like, you know, Brooklyn, like Williamsburg.
Yeah.
The kitchen staff looked identical to that.
But the food was very good.
Oh, yeah.
I remember we had buffalo cauliflower.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
Which sounds not that exciting, but I mean, it was maybe we have a thing for grilled vegetables. I don't know, maybe it's like a fetish we're developing.
I'm sensing a theme.
it was like grilled cauliflower with,
yeah, take that zucchini,
a buffalo really sauce, and did it have some blue cheese on it? It must have.
I think it might have been on the side for dipping,
maybe, but it was very good.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of vegetarian dishes there.
Yeah, they're vegan friendly, gluten free friendly.
Yeah. So if you're like, if you have a vegetarian buddy, or if you are a vegetarian
or vegan,
even better. Looking for a nice place to go that will, like, cater to you.
Directly, sir,
to you.
Or madam.
This restaurant was designed with you in mind. And it's just fantastic. Got to go there again.
Yeah.
A small place, tiny place.
Well, they had outdoor seating. We didn't take advantage.
Yeah. Like, right now, though, it would be...
Oh, well, not now. And there was an upstairs, too.
Oh, there was?
Yeah.
All right.
And a very narrow, scary-looking staircase. And we trespassed across someone's house to get to it.
Yeah. The GPS was a little bit less than accurate in getting us there. So maybe you consult the website for more accurate directions than your cell phone.
MapQuest it.
Yeah.
Is MapQuest still around? Is anyone
still
using it? Yeah. I think my mom uses
it. Right?
I think so. I think it's like people's mothers use it. Because, you know, you're like, you turn them on to it when you're in college and you move on to Google.
Yeah.
And then they're still on MapQuest.
Lento. In the Village Gate.
I got to admit, for like, Lento is one of those places that I think suffers from the hype.
Yeah.
Like, I have enjoyed all my meals there, but I haven't been blown away. Whereas Good Luck, I think... Have you been to Good Luck?
I have not yet.
Good Luck is, I mean, they have the famous thing is they have their four-person hamburger. So it, like, comes out and it's like a cartoonishly large hamburger. You just cut into quarters and you each take like a hamburger's worth of, which is only a quarter of it. But I really dug that place and I felt like that kind of had a similar vibe.
I'll have to check that one.
But Lento did do duck that I really enjoyed. I'm not a duck fan, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Lento is a good, a great drink.
Oh, the drink, but yeah. They got all the drinky drinks.
Yes.
With the drinks in them.
One of my favorite drink menus, I think.
Really?
Where was the one where you had the smoky stuff? Oh, that was the place in Canandaigua.
Yeah, another place you should
tell people
about. That Mexican place in Canandaigua, holy shit, their fucking drinks were amazing.
I can't remember the name of it, but it's the Mexican place in Canandaigua. If you're looking, yeah, you'll
But if you sit in the back, beware of the seat next to the heater under the table.
That was awesome. I loved that seat. It was cold out. The seat was like literally over the heating system, and it had a tablecloth over it. So all the heat coming out of the heater on the wall
was on my
just
penis.
Like, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right there.
That's where I want it. That's where I want that heat.
Okay. I'm one of those people who will be happy in a sweater and shorts, so.
Yeah.
You apparently are not.
But that place was some of the best buffalo wings I have ever had.
Oh, that's right. And a Mexican place.
Yes.
And we eat at Jeremiah's.
Yeah.
That's our post-show hangout.
Yeah. And they had a great drink menu there. They did. The Mexican
They
place.
Did the smoked mezcal drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always like, tequila is one thing, but when you get into mezcal and the aged tequilas and stuff, like, you can get some pretty awesome, like, flavor profile out of that.
It was impressive. I'm trying to think of another place. Unfortunately, the place where you used to
tastings.
Do we need to? I think we should mention that.
Tastings was phenomenal. I loved working there. I loved eating there.
For like the maybe two of you who are listening who have ever been to Tastings, it was great while it was around.
Yeah, now it's next door Bar and Grill, and I can't do it. I've tried.
Yeah, we've been there a couple of times, and it's not. It's like got a lot of the same people there.
Yeah, and the Robata stuff is really good. It's just the ambiance. Like it just I say this every time. It feels like Vegas. Like it's so didactic and disconnected,
but not in a good way.
No, because
we had the best.
Yeah.
Damn time. What? Why are you dismissing this? We had a great time in Vegas.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the meal you and your wife went to without us.
No, I wasn't going to get into that.
Oh, all right.
I was going to say what a good time we had.
The 10-course meal with the Wagyu add-on was fucking brilliant. It was a piece of heaven.
That was the Shibuya restaurant.
Shibuya.
At the MGM Grand,
who's the Grand
Hotel Casino. It was like was it 10-course?
Yeah.
It was
your birthday.
Yes.
And I selflessly, I might add, offered to accompany you on this 10-course on your dime.
You're going to take that hit? One for the team there, Mike?
My wife didn't. Your wife didn't. I took one for the team because I wanted you to enjoy a 10-course meal. I knew you wouldn't do it without someone else doing it on your dime.
Right. Like you didn't want to. Oh, man.
And the Wagyu was better than the Kobe.
Yes.
Which was...
I think so.
I've discovered that a couple of times. I find Kobe to be too fatty.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, cow, I get it's your thing, but maybe hit a treadmill once in a while. Like, can you maybe get less sake massages and maybe walk around the fucking pasture a little bit?
And what was that? The crab.
The tiny flash-fried crab.
The flash-fried crab.
It was like roughly the size of a quarter.
Yeah. Maybe like a walnut. Maybe it's a little smaller. I don't know.
Okay.
Walnut-ish sized.
In the shell.
Flash fried.
I'm not even sure there's anything.
Very crunchy.
It was just a shell at that point.
It was crunchy.
But
that's all I remember.
We crunched through that.
And we were pretty drunk at the time because we threw in a little extra and we were getting a paired sake with each course, which was awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, and by that was like probably the sixth or seventh course.
Sure.
I don't remember.
I have no... That could have been the first or last thing we ate. I wouldn't remember. One of my favorite things from that night is the picture we had the waitress take.
I don't remember that.
So there's a picture of you and your wife and me and my wife. And then, do you remember the old Asian lady who was a table over from us? I'll have to dig out the picture sometime. So we're sitting across from each other and the waiter's facing, like, you know, we're sitting... perpendicular to where the waiter is taking the picture.
Yes.
So we're facing each other.
And you can see this right now because Mike is going to post this picture on the website.
Sure. I'll make it the image on the the podcast. And the table, somehow the perspective was just right. So there was a table next to us of an Asian family enjoying their meal, but they were sitting on the corner banquette.
And that's honestly how you know it's a good Japanese place.
When there's Asian people eating there?
Yeah.
That's a good point. Especially in Vegas. Although they could have been tourists.
They could have
went to play the slots, but it happened so that our profiles are blocking the people as sitting on either side of the table at the other table. But because it's a straight shot down and the angle of it looks like it's one long table and it's like the four of us and then this kind of angry looking older Asian woman like sitting at her table. It was like a Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings, you know, play.
Yes.
On angles.
You can judge for yourself as you look at the picture.
Look at this picture and let us know what you think. I think it's very funny. Was that the night that you picked a fight with the Ka attendant? Or was that a different night?
That was probably a different night.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I felt ripped off. I was like, what the hell?
So okay, well, that's good to know that you're still like sober and years later.
Because we went to see Ka.
Mm-hmm.
And this
Cirque
is...
Cirque du Soleil.
Yes.
Amazing show.
The stage, like, is a character in the show.
The stage is, like, on a giant pneumatic, so it can not only go up and down, but it can also tilt, like, 90-degree tilt.
Yeah. And so at one point it becomes a cliff that they're climbing up.
And they're shooting arrows at them, and they're popping into it, and then they're doing gymnastics off of the arrows that are hanging out. Yeah, oh, it's amazing.
And that's when somebody died not too long ago.
Yeah, and then they don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
But no one died during the scene they cut.
No. Because when... this is actually the second time that I'd seen it. and there were characters that were missing. There was like at least one scene that was gone. I was like, what the heck, man?
It was the sand scene, right?
It was, yeah, a sand scene. When they have, like, pictures of the sand scene.
Yeah, we watched the sand scene because they show you trailers and all the MGM.
Yeah, they're showing you, like, yeah, previews and
everything.
And you're like, wow, that's in common. Mike, you're going to get to see that scene.
Well, that's awesome.
Like, yeah, that's cool. The guys are in the costumes. They look like a starfish, and the guy's like a crab or something.
The whole stage tilted and all the sand and the guy pouring off of it. Yeah, that's what I wanted to see.
And then that didn't happen.
And
Mike, you're like, what the hell? I'm like, I don't know. It was there last time.
And then it just sort of snowballed.
Yeah. And there was like, I know there was something else that was missing.
You had a list of grievances.
Yeah, I had a list of grievances. And so apparently, whatever that day of the week was like a Tuesday or something.
They give
that
poor guy the day off.
Yeah, they like rotate the cast. And that's, whoever was in those scenes that we missed just had that day off.
Damn it. But this was, I mean, we don't know exactly what you said because the three of us waited outside for you, but there was a good 15-minute period where...
I had to take it up with
a poor, underpaid theater...
I wanted steward. Answers, Mike, and I got them. They were not satisfying answers, but I did get them.
But you walked away with your curiosity satisfied.
Yes.
And your list of grievances aired.
Yes.
So, bully for you.
Man. The cheeseburgers in Vegas... I'm trying to go more positive here.
Yeah.
We went to the cheeseburger place.
We should probably get to the show at some point.
Which was Cheeseburgers Las Vegas, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, it was something silly named like
that. Oh my god, those were so good.
And the bubble tea.
The bubble tea?
Yeah, we went out to like some strip mall in outer Vegas and
yes.
There was like really good bubble tea.
Bubble tea. I've heard that there's some Thai place around here that serves bubble tea. I'll have to find that. There's I think it's in Greece or something though.
There's a bubble tea place on my way to work downtown.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I have to scope that out.
Maybe Spider-Man swung in there when they were filming and got a bubble tea.
Was that in the movie? Does he drink bubble tea in the film?
Again, the second one isn't out, so I don't know. But no, he did not. There was not a bubble tea scene.
Let's I don't know. I haven't seen the new Spider-Man. The last new Spider-Man.
Yeah, we went over this.
The reboot.
The reboot. The completely unnecessary reboot.
Yeah.
So how about that show we were in?
Show? We're not going to talk about food anymore? Oh, man.
It isn't.
I'm, like, all hungry now.
Did you eat before you came over to do this?
But now I want, like, good food.
Oh, what did you eat for dinner?
A bowl of cereal.
What? That's not filling. That's not a dinner.
Yeah, well.
Of course, I had quiche for dinner. But
see, that's better than a bowl of cereal.
Yeah, that's way more filling.
Cereal. Bowl of cereal.
Cereal Figgins, Archer. Yep. I can't tell. We watch so much television. We can't tell if we're a season behind on Archer. So, like, I know it's starting because they keep doing the Top Gun gag episode that they keep doing a trailer
for. That was the last one.
Oh, they already did it?
The one in space. You've seen that one.
So we are caught up.
Yeah, they're, like, gearing up for a new season.
So
far as I know.
Okay, because, like, Erica is like, no, we're still missing a season. I'm like, no, I think we're caught up.
No, you're caught up.
Yeah, okay, because they took a really long break.
By the way, if you haven't watched Archer, I can't believe anybody listening to this has not seen Archer.
They're way funnier than we are.
Yes. They have the benefit of having a crew of animators, though, to help them.
Do you know that...
Not only do they record their voices, they actually have somebody animating... their characters to
I'll animate
so
this.
You can see what they're doing.
A little South Park action with some popsicle sticks. You know that all the characters, like Cyril Figgins, looks a lot like what's his face who does the voice in real life. But all the characters are actually based off of friends and family, the animators.
Oh,
that's why. Like,
I was
going
to say, H. John Benjamin looks
nothing
like Archer.
Archer. Yeah, no, I know. But that's why some of them are like. Well, the mom looks a lot like the actress.
Huh.
But apparently, all of them are based off of other people. I don't know if that informed the casting or not, but...
I don't know. It probably makes it easier to write.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, at that point you could just picture the person saying it.
Yes.
We could keep talking about food, but, I mean, we did have, like...
Great show.
One of the best shows I've ever been a part of, and...
Yes, and unfortunately,
few people were there.
Saw it. And I think, man, it was an awesome show. And I'm not just saying that because it was the last show that we were in. Because we've done shows.
We are not the kind of people to be like, oh yeah, it was awesome. You should have been there just to be vindictive when it wasn't a good show.
Right.
Yeah. We're not those kind of people. We'll admit we're like,
because we've done shows like that. And we're like, yeah, it was a show.
Yeah. I don't think we really ever have a bad show, but yeah, we've had shows that we aren't going to tape and send to the troops.
Yes.
Because that's a thing I just made up.
We didn't tape the show, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I wish I had now. Although, I always think, you know, if I had gone back and done things differently and taped the show, it might have turned out completely differently.
Butterfly effect.
The butterfly effect would have ruined the whole show.
The act of turning the camera on would have sent shockwaves that would have...
Yeah, somebody might have tripped over it and... I don't know.
There's actually a camera mount.
Okay.
That's completely out of the way of everything, so... But yeah, man, totally. Totally.
It was a great show. We had four other groups. Oh,
yeah. Yep.
Should we name them? We should.
Yeah, let's name them.
D&D.
Mm-hmm.
Next in Line. The Manshi Chronicles.
Back from their stint in Chicago.
Back from Chicago.
Possibly, maybe, going to be a guest on our show in the near future.
We'll discuss that after the mic. Yeah. Yeah. And Shut Up Zeke.
Us and Shut Up Zeke.
And then us.
Well, yeah. Other way around.
Shut Up Zeke.
Shut Up Zeke. Shaddup.
Yes.
Shut up.
And man, I was astounded at the level of talent and quality of the performances from all the other groups that were there. I mean, I was seriously impressed.
It got to the point where I, because I was sick, and I still kind of am, still getting over it. But I was in the light booth. platform thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had timed amounts of time that everyone got. So, like, yes. I knew that I could go to the bathroom, and I had been drinking a ton of water to try to keep my voice going. So I had to pee like you could not believe. But I didn't. I was laughing so hard at Manshi, and I'd just been enjoying everything the whole time. So I was doing a pee dance. I was afraid I was distracting them because I'm in the back of the house up, like, you know, 10 feet up in the air, like, just shifting back and forth, like, trying so hard not to have to pee because I was watching what was happening.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
It was worth it. I didn't die.
You didn't have a ruptured bladder.
No ruptured bladder.
No leakage.
No, nope. Not even a little bit of leakage. It was a leakage-free night. Except for my nose.
Honestly, though, I think the problem was that there weren't enough people in the audience.
Although, give the audience, what audience we had was great.
Yeah, the audience there was, they were great, everybody, they were having a good time. And
I think we sold like 13 tickets, including our wives.
Yeah, it was...
And, you know, the other improvisers were in the audience, too.
I think this was the case that the other groups, you know, not everybody knew all the other people that were going to be there, and they're like, I'm going to be like, you know, 25 or 30 minutes out of this, like, two-hour show.
They don't think there was a lot of self-promotion?
I don't think there was a lot of self-promotion. I think people,
which
like,
we were counting.
I don't know.
We were counting on that.
We were thinking, like, well, if everybody brings, like five or six people, we'll be in good shape. But that, it didn't materialize. But now, I think that the groups have all seen each other. Like, wow, these guys are all good. If we do this again, then I think we might see some more turnout.
And I think we should aim for a Saturday.
Yeah.
I do think, because I've been thinking about, like, what I'm
night.
Like on a
it
Friday.
It was a Friday night. It was a there cold. Were other things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was...
It was rough.
It was rough.
Getting there. Yeah. But yeah, and like several people from the audience commented afterwards, they were like, this was the perfect mix.
Yeah, because everybody had a different kind of format.
Yeah, everything had something.
The theme of the night was each one of these groups was a duo group.
Mm-hmm.
So it was everybody was
which is
two
rare.
People.
You don't see that very often, a whole show of duos.
Yeah. I think one of the groups next in line had put together a show like that earlier this year, maybe. But no, it's not something you see that often. But yeah, it totally worked, and I'd totally do it again, and I'd totally love to see all of those groups again.
Yeah, they opened with like a Dungeons and Dragons themed, plot intensive.
D&D was actually
about D&D. Yeah, but I love that the opening scene was them playing cards, which was like because D&D playing cards. And then it was a kind of musical group that was cool, and then Manshi, which just it's Manshi. What do you want to describe?
Yeah,
they didn't do their like relationship doctor thing, right?
Well, that's something they do for like a full show. They're like they have several different characters that they will bring in several different couples that they character couples that they bring in. But they were just, like, shooting from the hip and
that was fantastic.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. We had a good set.
Yeah.
We got to do weird stuff, too.
And, yeah. You were a car.
I was a jealous anthropomorphized car. Yeah.
And then Shut Up Zeke came out, and I've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, that was very
unique. I mean that in the best way.
Mm-hmm. It was like, yeah. Whoa.
It was very very unusual.
Mm-hmm.
There was singing involved, a lot of audience participation.
Really good singing.
Yeah, really good singing. Really good Sarah's singing. Got a fantastic voice.
Great. I love that she took that guy talking about his dysfunctional family, and then they made up the song, her and her improv partner, The First Complicated Family, about Peter... Keith.
Yes.
Yeah, Keith is on guitar. But she was singing about The First Complicated Family,
yes,
in air quotes, which was Mary, Joseph, and God.
Yes.
And Jesus. It's like, yeah, so I knocked your wife off. Oh, God. Awkward.
So that was a good show, man.
That was a great show.
Great show.
And I'm sorry, I'm genuinely, again, this is not from a vindictive place, I'm genuinely sorry more people weren't there because they missed out on such an amazing show. Like, it's from the bottom of my heart that I'm like, I did this for free, and I had so much fun and got to see so much good stuff, I feel bad other people didn't get to see it.
Yes.
So, hopefully next time we can get more people in the audience.
Yeah.
I didn't get to finish, by the way, at the show. Did I ever tell you the story about my jealous car?
No.
So that's what prompted the weird scene?
Yeah, I remember we were talking about that.
But I actually always wanted to tell you this, or at least since that night.
It was kind of weird because we were going off of our own suggestions, which really wasn't the intent.
But that's our format. We just do whatever. Give us an idea. Well, it was funny because
we do what we want. Man, we do what we want.
Whatever. We're buddies in space. Well, it was funny is it Jordan? When we were like, who's ashamed of their car or something? He's like, oh, I lost my dignity. And we're like, how old are you? And he's 20. We're like, everyone drives a shitty car at 20. But no, I was 18.
Wow.
Shy, straight kid, very smart, very sweet.
Uh-huh. At least that's what the girls said, right?
had dated one girl and it, like, for a couple weeks in high school. Like, mm-hmm. I was that guy. I was that young and innocent.
And now you're like... a piece of
now
meat.
I'm a bastard after Geneseo. I kind of am. But I had a car, my Plymouth Sundance, the Live Mobile, because I listened to the band live.
Yeah.
And I dated, I tried to go on 5 different dates my freshman year.
You tried to go on 5 different
dates.
Yes,
that is the key operative word.
Okay, that's interesting because most people would have gone on.
I still did, but the actual destinations were.
It's like you only made 4.
I only made 4 3/4 dates.
Okay.
Yeah, my math was a little. 5 separate occasions, I had different girls.
All right.
That we were going to go to dinner, see a movie, anything, and I got into my car.
Yeah.
I was one of those rare people that had a car freshman year. Not a terribly common thing.
Nice.
Although Geneseo was cool about
not
it.
Not a good car, though.
A terrible car. Well, that's car. Where I'm going with this.
All right.
But my car would be jealous.
But the fact that you have a car is like...
In and of itself. It's pretty fucking cool.
In Geneseo.
Geneseo. But 5 separate times, we both got into the car, and I turned the key, and it would not start.
5 times.
5 different times over the course of a school year.
So...
But... When I would come back the next day.
So your car wasn't the Live Mobile. It was the Lie Mobile.
It was the Dead Mobile.
It was the Lie.
Sure.
You're like, hey, ladies, I got a car.
That was not lying
come
about
come on
that.
In. But
I did
the
have
important
a car.
Part about a car is that you can use it to get somewhere.
What if it's hailing?
No.
And you need a shelter?
No.
What if there's a zombie attack?
No.
Well, you're still screwed at that point, but...
Yeah, they can get through those windows.
Yeah, and you can't get away. Anyway... I would go to use the car before
See,
or after.
Having, that's not really having a car. That's having...
A hunk of metal.
That's having a hunk
glass.
Of metal on wheels.
Okay, I'll admit that. I had a cart. A very heavy inoperative cart. But I would go use that car earlier the day or the next day, and it worked fine. So it became very clear that my car had jealousy issues. And I thought my car was a guy. And maybe I was... Or maybe it was.
I
just
I don't
swung
know.
That
I'm
way.
I'm not going to judge...
I'm judging that my car wouldn't fucking start.
Well, okay.
You know. Could have maybe gotten laid more, or at all. Freshman year. I was too nice.
Maybe you should have made out with the car.
Ugh.
No?
Ugh. I'm not one of those people.
Since it was a used car, is that the problem?
Oh, if it was new, I would have been all up on that. Yeah, leather. No, weird people have sex with objects.
Yeah.
You know, there's like shows about them now.
Yeah.
Like, Bob is in love with the Brooklyn Bridge. And they like cuts to him like rubbing it like weirdly.
Yeah. And like, you know, you can get away with that like once or twice when you hit puberty. But after that, no.
After college, it's right out, man. Yeah. You don't get any more experimental
phases.
Like,
there's a very narrow window of opportunity for, you know, a young person to want to have sex with pretty much anything.
Anything, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But then when you're an adult, you're usually still living with your mom. Yeah. But they'll put it on television, so it's a thing.
Yeah. So your car is all smooth now, smoothie.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a jet plane anymore.
No.
If it was a jet plane and it sounded like a jet plane, it would have been great.
Yeah.
Because I'd be that guy who took a jet plane to work.
I'm sorry it cost you. It was like a little significant amount of fix.
You know what? It's fine. Got a kid on the way. It could have seen when both ball bearings in the front of your car are bad.
Yeah.
Like either of them could seize at any moment. And while it could turn into one of those awesome like CAA car chase scenes where like my car spins around and I'm going backwards all of a sudden, probably would have just done something awful.
And I gotta tell you, I felt like the biggest jerk because you were having these problems. This is how it went down. So Mike's car is getting louder and louder.
You were the one who brought it to my attention because I hadn't noticed.
I did. I was like, man, Mike, your car is a little bit loud. Maybe you should get new tires. And Mike's like, yeah, I'll get new tires later. So I'm like constantly like sending Mike links to tires that are on sale. Like, these are on sale for like $50 off and you get a $100 rebate card. You should get these tires.
And I'm like, I don't have the money right now.
And so this like went on for a month or two.
Months of tire harassment, yes.
Yeah, and then Mike finally breaks down. And like, I send him this like, these tires are like, they're like almost free because there's like multiple rebates on them right now.
The superlatives you were laying on these tires, like I actually felt bad not buying them by the end.
Like if you don't get these tires now, Mike, you'll regret it for the rest of your life.
You will be a shell of the man you could have been.
It was a good deal. They were like $50 a piece after all.
Yeah, I just got an email today that the other rebate's coming back.
There you go.
So
that'll be handy.
So Mike, what happened when I put some tires
on? Mike goes to the dealership, which is a decent dealership. It's yep. Dick-eyed.
We'll
throw him a bone. Yeah. They do a good job. They took over from Vincent, and Vincent sucked. Vincent was like the worst dealership around, and thankfully that has changed now. So the worst part of this is the guy who's putting on the tires for you, who's he's like the service manager or something. Yep. Mike's like, yeah, I'm going to put these new tires on. I can't wait to have it be more quiet in my car. And the dude says, oh, well, these tires have a pretty aggressive tread pattern on them. I don't know if they'll be much more quiet. And at that point, Mike's like, what?
And they weren't.
And
they actually were worse.
And I'm like, I'm feeling like the biggest schmuck in the universe because here I've been like pestering Mike for months to get new tires and they don't do a damn thing.
Except vibrate the car more.
Except, yeah, the car's like, it almost seems worse.
Now, to be fair, you had looked at the sound
ratings. I did.
Ratings, and they
I
were
looked
supposed
at all the ratings. I'm like, these tires are perfect for Mike. They are more quiet than average and all this stuff. And like, nope.
It was funny. The aggressive tread pattern did did change something in the car so that the vibration. So when I hit 52 miles an hour in fourth gear because I have a stick, it would vibrate the air in the car. Like, it literally vibrated that.
It did. No, it was literally like being in a turboprop airplane. And I don't know how many of you have like made that jump from Rochester to New York in a turboprop. A lot of people have. It is not a comfortable flight. It's horrible.
Was my car.
It's like somebody hammering on your ears.
Well, it's funny. Like I just would open my mouth and go, really fast. But no, you made up for it. You came over. You put your wheel, like your rim and tires on my car, and we drove it around and confirmed it was definitely the car.
We did some scientific mechanicking on the tires.
We
and
did.
Cars.
This, we utilized the scientific method.
We did.
You had a hypothesis.
Yes. Switched the tires. Same tires on Mike's car that were on my car. Much louder in Mike's car. Got to be the car.
The car,
not the tires.
Not
but
the
car.
Not the rims. Not the tires. What no. was really what the most annoying thing of it all, I think, was that I paid to get an alignment when I got the new tires on.
Yeah, and they told you they did tell you your other tires were shot.
Oh, they said they were cupping, and they're like, and he goes, he looks at me, the same service manager, because I've been there twice now in a month.
Yeah,
and he's like, yeah, the alignment was a good idea because you were off. He's like, you sure your mileage should be better now.
So yeah, we're thinking, oh okay, alignment was bad.
Bad alignment, bad tires.
Bad tires. This is boom.
But I had to get another alignment. 2 days ago.
Another one?
Yeah, he's like, I'm really sorry.
Oh, yeah, because they got it.
Yeah, he's like, when you take the knuckles off.
Right.
Yeah, and he even showed, he felt so bad because I think he knew I just got an alignment, that he showed me. He's like, look, yours, like, he did it, and it looked like a pyramid. Like, the tires, the wheel degree and the diagram was, like, fucking bad. And then, you know, it was straight.
Yeah.
In the second part. He's like, I'm really sorry, we had to do it. I'm like, nah, that's cool. At this point, it's a very small portion of the overall cost.
So. Yeah. It would have been nice for him to throw that in, but oh well.
Yeah, but you know what? I did get 10% off. I had a coupon.
Yeah. So now your car is buttery smooth and...
It's quiet as a church mouse, in his own words. Mr. Aggressive Tread.
So I'm like, yeah, I was right about the tires. They're okay. And
but I didn't... If I had kept the tires and gotten the work done, then we could have actually seen how loud the tires were. You're right. I'm just giving you a hard time. Yeah, now I like put it in neutral. I turn the music off, and I can't even tell the car's on.
Going back in time, Mike, if you had said to that serviceman after you got the new tires, these new tires should not be this loud.
Yeah,
because my friend told me they wouldn't be.
And you would have said the same thing. He said they got an aggressive tread.
Yeah, well, but you would have been right.
I would have. That's true.
If you had trusted me. Back then, Mike.
Mike, trust in the Smike. It should guide you always. He's turned off his targeting computer. Mike, your targeting computer's off. It's okay. I got this.
I used to
bullseye. I used to bullseye womp rats.
Womp rat tires. And back in my days as a mechanic,
in East Rochester.
Yeah. Okay. This scene is going nowhere,
East,
man.
East Rochester. Ween.
This, I didn't.
Oh, it going nowhere, just like the new Star Wars movies.
Whoa! Bam. Wow. Okay, we have officially switched gears here.
Well, I don't know. That's a long road for another day. But yeah, fucking Star Wars.
Man. Have you heard new stuff?
I just meant the prequels.
The Abrams. Right.
I heard that directing. Han Solo may be coming back, so they're looking to get Harrison Ford back. there is a wealth of really mediocre Star Wars sequel literature, and then there's a couple of absolute gems. There's Shadows of the Empire. I'm pointing at an action figure I put up on my wall. Shadows of the Empire was the book that filled in the story between Empire and Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. It explains how like Leia got that suit and had the thermal detonator, like all this stuff. And it's really good.
But they're not that would not
no,
be
no, 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 no. And then there's a lot of like what happened was it's like the Matrix, the Superman issue, like. Neo gets so powerful, like, you just have to take his powers away because he's too powerful. Like, Heroes did it, too.
Yeah.
Later on, Peter Petrelli, instead of being an empath who could take all the powers, he could only have one at a time because they realized he was too powerful.
Right.
So they totally, like, nerfed him. so all these books and comics just nerf Luke Skywalker. It's like a book of the week. It's like, oh, Luke lost his powers because of this thing. Oh, no, I'm Luke, but I have no powers.
Yeah, they got to either do that or make the villains even stronger.
Which they did, and those are the best books. They actually, like, went a paradigm higher in danger than the Empire.
It's like the whole Dragon Ball Z thing. Like, you have to keep ramping up the powers of both the heroes and the villains.
Or nerf the powers.
Until you're like, they got to be careful, they're going to blow up the planet.
They're just God at this point. There's just a couple of gods duking it out. But yeah, they did, yeah. So there's Timothy Zahn. If you really want to nerd out, there is one writer, Timothy Zahn, who wrote his earlier stuff, the Star Wars books, are really good. He's the guy who introduced Myra Jade, who's like one of the most popular characters, and she was never in the movies, she's only in books. The hand
she's
of the
like
Emperor,
an assassin
Emperor.
Or something.
The hand
like
of the
a
Emperor.
Jedi ninja or something like that.
But she worked for the Emperor, and then she ended up marrying Luke Skywalker and all that shit. All
right. I don't know any of that stuff.
Yeah, I went deep, dude. I showed him my yearbook, where like every single quote's like, have a great summer. May the force be with you. You're such a nice guy and such a nerd.
And yet you still managed to go on 5 almost dates when you were in college.
I could swing an arm and end up with a girlfriend. And also hit her. So it's a terrible analogy.
I don't know. Is it? Your wife might disagree.
It's a time for experimentation, man. I don't know. But maybe we should cut it there because I've said too much.
Are we at the...
I think we're at the time.
At the time?
Scene?
Scene...